In this Founders Insights, I'd like to talk about the macro market as well as the stock market and how they relate to real estate investing. There's a lot of talk that has gone about the market. Are we in a recession? Are we going to go into a recession? Has the Fed raised rates too much? Not enough, right? So it's a very volatile period of time with a lot of uncertainty. The funny thing is the future is always uncertain. So people never know where the next move for the market is, but nevertheless, sometimes people feel more certain and sometimes people feel less certain. And right now, this is definitely one of those less certain times. And what we've experienced over the last few years with rising interest rates is we've seen prices come down, we've seen there be some good opportunities, but we've seen a ton of treasury rate volatility, which impacts the rate at which you can finance real estate. And all the while this has been happening, we've seen an inverted yield curve. An inverted yield curve means that the short rates, or depending on if you want to use SOFR or the two-year U.S. Treasury yield, those are higher than the long end of the curve, which is usually referred to as the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield. And the scary thing about an inverted yield curve is that it is the number one predictor of a recession. And so far, we haven't really had a recession. I mean, it depends on who you talk to, and it depends on how you define a recession. But at least for multifamily, there hasn't been the big shoe to drop. There hasn't been a really sharp decline in property performance. If you're invested in Sunbelt growth markets, rents are still positive or flat. Collections are still reasonably good. So there's not a ton to worry about today as far as multifamily fundamentals go, which a recession would directly impact. Now, I know that multifamily isn't the most exposed asset class when it comes to a recession because housing is, of course, a need, not a want. Everyone has to have a roof over their head. But nevertheless, multifamily still is absolutely impacted when a recession hits. When a recession does hit, you can expect multifamily rents to flatten or decline. You can expect delinquencies to rise, occupancies to go down, and so on. And this also coincides nicely with a supply overload. If there's more supply in a market than demand needs, then you see similar things happen in the market, such as concessions going up, occupancies going down, and rents flattening or going down. And unfortunately, we see a bit of oversupply happening in the multifamily market. When you look at the long-term trends in U.S. housing, the U.S. is severely undersupplied when it comes to housing. However, in the short term, developers have built a lot of multifamily properties. So in the short term, there's a little bit of a supply glut, and that's going to have, it's going to take some time to work that through the system before we see some real positive momentum and rent growth in the market again. But rest assured, the long-term trends are still extremely favorable, and the long-tail demographics of people postponing family formation, postponing buying a home, preferences towards renting by lifestyle rather than owning a home, all these things contribute dramatically to the kind of step-up increase in multifamily demand, which we think is a trend that will continue for decades to come. This all makes us feel comfortable to invest in today's market. Another thing that makes us comfortable to invest in today's market, but kind of compared to stocks, is where the stock market is. While there's been a lot of this volatility and uncertainty and raising rates, the stock market initially took a dip, but has really fully rebounded and is doing really well. The stock market is at or near all-time highs, and I think this is a bit of a scary position to be in, considering that the market and the economy don't feel like they're firing on all cylinders. So why is the stock market at all-time highs? Well, it's impossible to know, but it does kind of seem like a good time right now to rotate out of stocks, given that they are so expensive and at near highs, and actually rotate into real estate, which is kind of still beaten up. Prices are still down. We're not really seeing prices rally a ton. We've seen them come up a little bit here and there for the right deal. But still, right now, real estate feels like the cheap buying opportunity, whereas stocks, I feel less certain about. Obviously, nobody can predict the future, and I'm not saying that stocks are going to go down tomorrow, but that's just kind of what the market feels like. However, I have an even bigger point in general about stocks versus real estate, which I think listeners at home should really take into consideration when they're thinking about allocating their capital. And this is that when it comes to the stock market, you have a big disadvantage. You are competing against the brightest and smartest around the world. Not only that, you're competing against pension funds, endowments, and those entities do not pay taxes. So when a pension fund is investing in a public equities or stock market strategy, they're looking at that pre-tax return as their post-tax return. So they inherently have a competitive advantage against you, the retail investor, because you have to pay taxes on your stock market gains. If you do well in the stock market, you're going to have to pay taxes on that, and that's going to hurt your post-tax return. And so you have to factor that in when you're investing in the stock market. However, of course, Harvard's endowment doesn't pay tax. So when they're evaluating, is buying Apple stock right now or is doing this hedge fund strategy or public equity strategy a good move for us? You know, the answer is more likely to be yes, because they don't pay taxes. So they're willing to effectively outbid you for that stock, if you will. And what that means is you kind of get priced out as a retail investor from achieving lucrative post-tax returns in the stock market. And at the end of the day, it's not about what you make, it's what you keep. And so post-tax returns, I think, are kind of an underappreciated point in the financial world because people are so fixated on pre-tax returns. But the reality is what you keep is more important. And that's where real estate comes into play. As a retail investor, as an individual, you have major advantages in the real estate space. I'll give you one example, the 1031 exchange. 1031 exchanges are a very unique tax strategy specific to real estate where you're able to buy property, make a profit, sell, and then defer the taxes that you would owe on that sale by rolling over the gains into a new investment and just kind of compounding your wealth all the while not paying taxes. This is a huge, huge advantage and a surefire way for you to beat your comparable stock market investment on a long-term post-tax basis. There's other very powerful tax strategies in real estate, such as depreciation. Now, we invest in real estate not just for the appreciation, which means that properties generally go up in value over time, but real estate investments also generate depreciation, which is a paper tax loss, a paper loss that you're able to use to offset income in your portfolio. This is extremely powerful and also leads to enhanced post-tax returns when it comes to investing in real estate. Well, guess what? When it comes to those pensions and endowments, they don't care. They don't care about depreciation. They don't do 1031 exchanges. So they're not going to be as competitive in the real estate space as you can be because you have these lucrative tax advantages that actually benefit your bottom line. And in some cases, if you're a really savvy investor in real estate, you can actually generate a post-tax return that is greater than your pre-tax return. Now, I'm not going to get into the specifics of that, but you can get the idea that if you're really savvy, you can utilize your losses associated with your paper losses associated with real estate to create tax savings for you elsewhere in your portfolio to really allow you to get ahead. So this is, I think, a really unique point to focus on where you have the advantages, right? Where does the IRS, where does the government incentivize you to do well? Well, for better or worse, it's real estate. 1031 exchanges, depreciation, you, the individual, can take advantage of these things to outcompete those bigger pools of capital out there.